All right, can you imagine like ending up in jail just for handing out flyers? Sounds
Yeah.
crazy,
Yeah,
right?
pretty wild.
But that's exactly what happened in this case, Schenck v. United States. Like, this case totally changed how we think about free speech in America, you know?
Yeah.
So picture this. It's 1919. The US is just coming out of World War I, and the Espionage Act of 1917 is like the law of the land.
Right.
Now we've got these two, Charles Schenck and Elizabeth Baer. They're leaders in the Socialist Party over in Philadelphia.
Okay.
And they're not exactly fans of the draft.
Makes sense.
So what do?
Well,
They hit the streets with these leaflets, right, saying no to the draft.
yeah, so these flyers, they're fascinating. They weren't just like, draft's bad, don't do it. They actually got all legal and stuff, brought up the 13th Amendment.
Whoa, the one about no slavery.
Exactly. Involuntary servitude. They basically argue that the draft was like forced service, totally went against that whole amendment.
Wow, bold move,
Yeah.
especially during a war.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And they didn't just print a few. We're talking something like 15,000 of these things sent straight to men eligible for the draft. They wanted to make a point.
Talk about a power move. So they're using the Constitution itself to challenge the system, like a legal rebellion. But I'm guessing Uncle Sam wasn't too happy about this.
Yeah, not really their cup of tea. The government saw this as a direct attack on the whole war effort, especially since the US was still getting troops ready and everything.
So Schenck and Baer, did they get a slap on the wrist?
More like a full-on arrest. They got charged with violating that Espionage Act.
Ah, that's right, the Espionage Act. Not exactly known for being a fan of free speech. What exactly were they accused of?
Well, the government's argument was basically, hey, they're discouraging guys from joining the draft, which the Espionage Act is supposed to protect. It wasn't just protesting, it was messing with the nation's ability to, actually fight a war.
So we've got freedom of speech going head to head with national security, classic showdown, and this all ends up at the Supreme Court. Must have been a tense case.
Oh, yeah, a real nail biter.
So what happened? Did they side with Schenck and Baer?
Not even close. It was a unanimous decision against them. The court totally backed the government, upheld the Espionage Act and the convictions.
Wow, a unanimous decision against free speech during wartime. That's a pretty strong statement. What was their reasoning?
Well, this is where it gets interesting. The court introduces this brand new legal standard called the clear and present danger test. And it was Justice Oliver Wendell Holmes Jr. himself who laid it all out.
Clear and present danger, huh? Sounds pretty serious.
Oh, it was. Basically, it meant even if speech is protected by the Constitution, it can still be limited. But T, only if it poses a clear and present danger to something the government really cares about, like keeping the country safe during a war.
So it's not like they could just ban any speech they don't like, right? It has to be a specific kind of danger.
Exactly. It's all about context, like a judgment call.
Clear and present danger. Sounds simple enough, but I'm guessing it's way more complicated than that. How did they actually use this test on Schenck?
Yeah, see, that's the tricky part. The court had to weigh these individual rights, free speech and all, against the government's need to, like, keep things running smoothly, especially in wartime.
That makes sense. Because if just handing out flyers against the draft puts you in jail, what does that mean for any kind of criticism, right? Did the court give any examples, like what they considered a clear and present danger?
Well, Holmes, he made this really famous comparison. He said it's like someone yelling fire in a packed theater when there's no fire.
Oh, yeah, I've heard that one.
Classic example. It's like, yeah, you're technically speaking, but it creates such chaos and danger that it's not protected
I
anymore.
get it, but those flyers causing panic and desertion
Yeah.
seems a little extreme, doesn't it?
Well, the court said it wasn't just what the flyer said, but also the timing. It was wartime when national security is like the top priority, and those flyers were aimed right at the guys who could be drafted, trying to mess with that whole process.
Right, so they weren't just like debating the ethics of war, it was potentially messing with the war itself. But isn't that, I don't know, a slippery slope? Couldn't the government use that to shut down any criticism, especially during a crisis?
You hit the nail on the head. That's the whole debate that Schenck started, and it's still going strong. How do you balance free speech with national security when the line between, legitimate criticism and dangerous speech is so blurry? That's what makes this case so fascinating, even 100 years later.
Definitely a lot to think about. We've got this clash of rights, a brand new legal test, and questions that are still relevant today. I'm hooked. But before we get too deep into all that, let's back up a bit.
You know, it's kind of crazy how Schenck, it wasn't just about those flyers. It had this ripple effect on tons of other free speech cases, especially, during war or any national crisis.
Yeah, it's wild how a case from way back in 1919 about some leaflets can still be relevant today. But I guess the story doesn't end there, right? So how did that clear and present danger test actually play out in the years after? Did it become like the ultimate rule for limiting speech?
Well, right after Schenck, things actually got kind of worse for dissent. That clear and present danger test, at first it was maybe a bit too vague, open to interpretation.
So instead of protecting free speech, Schenck might have made it easier for the government to, like, shut people up. That seems kind of backwards. Got any examples of that happening?
Yeah, so there's this case, Abrams v. United States, just a year after Schenck. A bunch of Russian immigrants, they were handing out leaflets, but this time criticizing the U.S. getting involved in the Russian Revolution.
Okay, so more wartime dissent, more leaflets. Sounds familiar. What happened to them? Same logic as Schenck.
Yep, convicted under the Espionage Act, and the court, they pointed right back to Schenck and upheld the convictions. It's like clear and present danger became this catch-all excuse to squash any speech the government didn't like, especially about war.
Yikes, that sounds like a dangerous path. If any criticism of the government during war is a danger, then, like, what's the point of free speech? Did anyone on the court push back against this?
This is where it gets kind of interesting. Justice Holmes, the guy who came up with clear and present danger in the first place, he actually disagreed with the Abrams decision.
Wait, hold on. Holmes, he changed his mind. That's a twist. What made him dissent in Abrams after being all for clear and present danger just a year before?
It seems like he had second thoughts, you know? Maybe he realized that Schenck was being used too broadly, like stifling real political debate under the cover of national security.
Yeah.
In his dissent for Abrams, he argued that those leaflets, they weren't a real threat to the war effort, and the government was overreacting.
So even the guy who invented clear and present danger started having doubts. Man, this is complicated. But if Schenck didn't set the standard forever, how did things change for free speech?
Yeah, so Schenck was a big deal, but it wasn't the end of the story. The court kept wrestling with these questions, free speech versus security, for decades. Like, tweaking and rethinking clear and present danger along the way.
So it was a long road. Any particular case that stands out as a turning point?
The big one was in 1969, Brandenburg v. Ohio. This case involved a Ku Klux Klan leader giving some pretty fiery speeches at a rally. He got convicted under an Ohio law against advocating for violence, but then the Supreme Court steps in and overturns the conviction.
Hold up. The court sided with a KKK leader on free speech. That's surprising. What was their logic? Did they just ditch clear and present danger altogether?
Not completely, but they made it way harder to limit speech. Brandenburg gave us this new stricter rule, the imminent lawless action test.
Okay, break that down for me. Imminent lawless action. What's that mean? And how is it different from clear and present danger?
Think of it like this. Clear and present danger was kind of about like a general feeling of potential harm, right? But imminent lawless action needs solid proof. To limit speech now, the government has to show that the speech is directly aimed at causing lawbreaking and that it's likely to actually make that happen, like right then and there.
So it's not enough to say, oh, this might cause trouble someday. It has to be a real immediate threat of crime happening. That seems like a big difference. But did this officially overturn Schenck, or is that case still relevant?
Well, the court didn't say Schenck was wrong, but Brandenburg definitely shrunk how clear and present danger could be used, making it way tougher to silence dissent based on like flimsy threats. That imminent lawless action standard from Brandenburg, it's become the main rule for cases about speech that might lead to violence or breaking the law.
So Schenck, even though it was a landmark case, it kind of accidentally led to stronger free speech protections. Like, it paved the way for its own evolution. That's pretty cool. But I gotta ask, is Schenck just a history lesson now, or does it still matter today?
The stuff Schenck brought up, it's more relevant than ever, especially now with how tech has changed how we talk to each other. Security versus freedom, that's a constant fight in a democracy. And Schenck's legacy, it's still shaping how we deal with that even today.
Okay, you've got me intrigued. Let's dive into those modern-day connections in the last part of our deep dive. Man, this whole journey with Schenck v. United States has been wild. From World War I leaflets to, like, today's world. Really makes you think, you know. can we really protect everyone's freedoms when national security is on the line?
Yeah.
And where's that line between, like, okay, dissent and speech that actually messes with our whole society?
Yeah, heavy stuff. Those are the questions that have kept, like, legal experts and courts busy for over a century. And the answers, not always black and white, that's for sure.
Totally. So how does a case about some anti-draft flyers from, like, 100 years ago connect to what we're dealing with now? It's a totally different world.
You'd be surprised. Like, remember the Espionage Act? The one Schenck got busted with? That thing's still around. It's not just history. And it's been used recently in those big cases, you know, like Chelsea Manning and Edward Snowden leaking classified info.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Those cases blew up. Big debates about whistleblowing, government secrets, the press. It's crazy how those old questions about national security and free speech are popping up again, but this time in the digital age. Did those recent cases with the Espionage Act, did they use that clear and present danger test from Schenck?
Clear and present danger is still out there, but courts these days are leaning more on that stricter imminent lawless action rule, the one from Brandenburg v. Ohio.
Right, right.
But even with that higher bar, the government still argues that leaking secrets puts national security at risk, so they gotta limit speech.
So even though the rules have changed, that fight between national security and free speech just keeps going. It makes you think, with all the stuff flying around online these days, how do you even define clear and present danger in the digital world? Like back then, a leaflet took forever to spread, but a tweet, boom, instant.
Exactly. That's what's tripping up the courts now. Social media, it's like a megaphone, right? We can spread info, but also misinformation super fast. And that brings up a whole new set of worries about online speech. Can a tweet make people violent? Can fake news mess with elections or even public health? It's like Schenck 2.0, digital edition.
It's like that shouting fire in a theater thing went online, right? Now it's like someone tweets a fake alarm, millions see it instantly, chaos ensues. Yeah. So how do we make those old First Amendment ideas work in this new world?
$1 million question. And Schenck, even though it's from a different time, it reminds us that context is key. This digital age, it throws curveballs, and the courts are still figuring out how to protect both security and free speech. It's a balancing act.
What's trippy is Schenck also brings up, like, who gets to decide what's dangerous speech? Back then, it was those flyers. Today, it could be anything. Leaks, conspiracy theories. It's a moving target.
Right. And that's where having independent judges really matters. Even with its issues, one of the big things Schenck teaches us is that you can't just limit speech randomly. The government has to have a good reason, a real threat, not just vague fears. Judges got to keep them honest, make sure they're not just silencing people they don't agree with.
So as we try to figure out this whole digital world, Schenck v. United States is kind of like a warning sign, AND, a reminder, that fight between freedom and security never ends.
Absolutely. It's a call to action, you know, to be aware, to think critically about free speech and its limits, and to talk about where those limits should be. We all got to play a part in protecting those freedoms, even when they bump up against other stuff.
This deep dive has been awesome. We've learned so much about a case that seemed like ancient history at first. But Schenck v. United States, man, it keeps coming back. Those questions it raised are just as important now as they were over 100 years ago. It shows us that free speech, even though it's a big deal in democracy, it's not unlimited. And that balancing act between freedom and security, it takes constant work, you know. Got to stay engaged. Thanks for joining us, everyone.